Samsung. Last week we finalized, and Gideon, I know, and in chapter 9, actually, chapter 8, actually, some part in chapter 8, we brushed over it. But in the end, as we would have said last week, that the people of Israel would have asked Gideon to be their king, and that's where the kingship in Israel would begin. Where they want to have a king over them, like the other nations, you know, but not so. The Lord do not have it like that, but they want a king. But when they said it to Samson, when they said it to Gideon, Gideon said, "No, I will not rule over you, neither me nor my son. Will not rule over you, but the Lord himself will rule over you." You know, and that's where Gideon would have, you know, they would have spoke, the Bible has spoke about his children. I think it was like 70, 70 and 10 children that Gideon had.
Sons.
Yeah, 70 sons. Yeah, the daughters weren't included. 70 sons. And he had, I think he had many wives in those times. It was allowed in those times. You know, yes, so we would have gone on to Jethro today, you know, for the next 2 weeks or so. But in my absence, we're going to take up from Jethro, maybe next 2 weeks after Samson is finished, after our sister Camille would have finished presented Samson, would have taken over going to Jethro and stuff. But we're lined up for a very interesting evening.
Come on already.
Yes, we're lined up for a very interesting evening because, you know, Samson is one of the major, is among the major, one of the major judges. You know, we have 12 of them, 6 minor and 6 major. You know, that the major and the minor, they are both important, but the minor, the major would have a longer epistle. I would call it epistle, but it's not really epistle, but a longer chapters recorded of them and their contribution to our faith. Amen. So we're going to look at that this evening, Samson. And yeah, many of you that know about Samson and maybe have associated him with Delilah. You know, Samson and Delilah. And you would have associated Samson with his strength as well. Very strong man. You know, and so with this, I just want to welcome you all to another Bible study. You know, bless God for you and I pray that you all had an overcoming week. I know obstacles will be there. Cannot get rid of the obstacles, but we know that we are not the one that fight our battles. The Lord himself is the one that fight for us, and we have the victory. Amen. So, you know, the hotter the fire, the sweeter the victory. The more that we have gone through, is the more faith, our faith will be lifted in him, knowing that we cannot sustain ourselves. You know, so I'm expecting that, including myself, we had a challenging week, one in which we proved the Lord to be the God of our lives and the one who stands by our side. Amen. Let us pray. Kind, loving, and eternal Father, we give you thanks for this another Bible study. Amen. We pray, mighty God, that as we join hearts and hands together, as we would share thoughts and as we would explore your words, that you would give us, mighty God, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and you will empower us, mighty God, with your Holy Spirit. I pray your blessing upon our presenter, Sister Camille. Pray your blessing upon our readers. I pray, mighty God, that everything will be done orderly and in your will, that you will be pleased with it and you will pour out of your anointing upon it. Anoint your woman servant even now, mighty God. Bless our as you present. I come against every tongue tie. I come against every weapon that is against us. Speak life into this presentation even now. I speak a blessing. Yes, mighty God, and I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that your voice that makes a difference will be heard in Jesus' mighty name. Cover our mighty God Let our thoughts, yes, mighty God, be centered on you, Lord. Empower our mighty God and bless our as we present. In your name we pray and for thy glory. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We welcome our own Sister Camille, who is always willing and always available for God to use and make herself pliable in the hands of God. And what a blessing it be when you give yourself unto God for God to use. It's always a blessing. And we just want to bless God and thank Sister Camille as she would present to us this evening. Sister Camille, are you available?
Bless the Lord. Good evening, amen. Everyone.
Good evening.
Lord. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good evening.
Thank you, Deacon. We bless the Lord for this opportunity, and I, you know, exalt the name of Jesus one more time that he has given me an opportunity to share of his word. Amen. And so as we get on tonight, it as Deacon said, it's really interesting to see when we think about the life of Samson that we're going to be exploring tonight. Hallelujah. And so we're going to get right into it, you know, without further hesitation. I'm going to invite Sister Heather Scott, who is our first reader, to go ahead and read for us. Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Agnes.
I'm going to read from Judges 13, 1 to 5, and it reads, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zaro, of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.
Yes.
That's the end.
Bless the Lord. That is the word of God and on earth. I say thanks be to God. Bless the Lord. So I, as was stated, I'm presenting on Samson. And, you know, one of the questions I asked when I started looking into Samson, who is Samson? And as Deacon Scott would have alluded to earlier, that Samson is one of the judges. You know, he's one of the judges who were raised up to deliver Israel from oppression. God would have raised him up to deliver Israel from oppression. Now, he was born, as was just read by Sister Heather, he was born to Father Manoah and his wife, and they were barren. You know, they were not able to conceive. But then the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and told them that they were going to have a son. And that's how Samson came. Amen. He was a Nazarite from the womb, the word of God says. And being a Nazarite would mean that when you're a Nazarite, it means that you have taken a vow to be set apart. Amen. To deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. So Samson, from the womb, from even before conception, he was called to be a Nazarite. And this meant that there were some stipulations that Samson had to make sure that he adhered to. One of which was not drinking wine or strong drink, not eating anything unclean, and no razor to his head. So he wasn't supposed to shave his head, as men would do nowadays. As a Nazarite, you would have to allow your hair to grow. right? Mm-hmm. And so Samson was expected to adhere to that stipulation. It is, like I was saying, it's customary for us, to, for Nazarites, not to shave their head. And if you want some more information on that, you can read Numbers chapter 6. And it will outline some of the procedures that as a Nazarite you had to go through and some of the things that you had to abstain from. But all of these stipulations were just a symbol to show your consecration and your commitment to God. Amen. As long as you are a Nazarite, you are expected to uphold these requirements. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, as we look at Samson, and you know, I was probably one of these persons too. People are of the perception, and we focus on his hair as the source of his strength. But when I delve deeper, and I want to present and or offer tonight a different perspective, you know, the strength was not from the hair in and of itself, but this strength, I believe, came from his obedience to God. So the hair, yes, it was physical, but the hair was a symbol, you know, a visible sign that there was a covenant or an agreement. And so once Samson operated in obedience, you know, to do what God says, then he would have the strength. He needed to obey God, and God said, don't trim your hair. So that's how the strength came. The literal hair in and of itself was not the source of the strength. The strength came from Almighty God. The strength came from him being obedient to our ultimate source, Almighty God. Praise God. And so as long as he walked in obedience to the power of God, to the covenant with God, or to the stipulations that the angel of the Lord gave, then the power of the Lord will be in him, and he could operate with the strength that he did. But the moment he broke the vow, the moment he stepped out of land, the moment he was no longer obedient, and the hair was now cut, because, you know, by the obey of God, you know, now the hair cut off. So that was when the strength would have left him. Was not because of the hair, but it was because of the fact that he had broken his obedience to God. And we're going to look deeper as we delve into the word of God tonight.
Amen.
Now, chapter 13 pretty much sums up what happened before Samson was born, some of which I've already elaborated on. Amen. And so when the angel came and told Manoah's wife that you're going to be with child, you know, and she went and she told her husband that a man came. One translation say a man. I don't think she realized that it was an angel. Yeah. Right. A man came. And so, but the angel would have given them some stipulations, some specifics. And so when I look at it, I was like, whoa, you know, God would have had a purpose for Samson even before he was conceived. And so it sounds cliche sometimes, you know, when we hear, oh, before I was substance in my mother's womb, you knew me. But this is evidence that it is true. Amen. It is true that God would have had a purpose for each of us even before we became substance in our mother's womb. The angel of the Lord revealed the purpose of Samson to his parents before conception.
Conceived.
Yes, before conception. I was like, mighty God. God knew, God designed this purpose for Samson. And he said, all right, I'll give this couple a son named Samson. And this is the reason for doing it. And then he released the angels to go and tell them. So even before they knew, the purpose was still there. Hallelujah. And God has done the same thing for each of us as believers. Before he creates us, he has a purpose for each of us. You know, God knows the why of our lives, why he created us. Do we know our why?
Hey,
are we aware as to why God really created us? Do we know our purpose? It's really something to pray about and really reflect on, because How can we walk in our purpose if we don't even know what it is? Hallelujah. What has God called us to do? Yes, he has called us to deny ourselves and to pick up the cross and to follow him. Yes, he has. But, you know, there are different ways and different things that he will have his followers to do. When I think about a cutting tool, a razor blade is a cutting tool, but so is an axe. Both of them are cutting tools, you know, but both of them still have different purposes.
Purpose.
They are used to cut, but cut different things. A razor blade can never be used to cut down a tree. You would cut with the razor, and look how the razor blade sharp. But it could never be used to cut down the tree. Hallelujah. Just like it's going to be so much of a challenge if you try to use an axe to cut a paper. You know? Both of them cut, but they are way more effective and efficient when they cut what they're designed to cut. Hallelujah. So that is their purpose. That is their why. What is yours? What is yours? We were created to worship God, but how? What will he have us to do? And that's why the Bible talks about the different gifts. Not all of us have the same gifts. Some of us he called to evangelize. Some of us into prophecy. Some of us to sing different gifts. You know, all of us are the same cause. Hallelujah.
Even our talents, different talents to use for
different talents, different gifts. The same thing, talents, gifts, yes.
Yes.
You know, he calls us, each of us, he gives us, some of us may be able to sing. I am not a singer. I may be able to present. Some persons may not be able to do what I can do, you know. But God has given us, each of us, different gifts for a common cause. And so if I try to sing, it might not be as effective as when Sister Terry sing, who has a lovely voice. Mm-hmm. Amen. But we all have our purpose in God. And it's for us to figure out, seek the Lord for that revelation of what our purpose is.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what, sister? Even our secular gifts, whatever he places and talents inside of us, like some is to teach. So you are a good teacher. You can use that for the glory of God. And you can draw to him through your teaching. So even your secular works. That's why through your secular works. What is it you're good at? And what can you do for God with the thing that's inside of you that you can use for him?
Amen. 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 And some of us might be, Sister Alice, some of us might be good at doing math and calculations and stuff. And so they work in the accounting field, you know? But they can still, all of these, as you said, secular jobs or secular gifts that we operate in, they can be used unto the glory of God.
All of them
can be used unto the glory of God. And it's just for us, we may not even know, but it's for us to find. I have taught for 13 years and I didn't know, you know, I'm Jamaican and I've taught in Jamaica for 10 years before I transitioned here. And because Jamaica is a God-fearing country, we do devotion and stuff, you know, it never really dawned on me my purpose. I'm being honest with you. But when I transitioned here into the States and I realized devotion is not endorsed, you can't have devotion. They tell you at my first meeting, because I'm passionate about the Lord and every opportunity I get, I talk about him and I share with others. And I was told that, you know, I'm not supposed to, the word is superimposed. My religious beliefs.
Yes.
Beliefs. And the children. Yes. And so because of that, devotion is removed. And that was when I had to go to the Lord to say to him, how are you going to have me to do this? Because I cannot interact with children who have never been exposed to God and teach them every day and send them home and not expose them to God. Mr. Jesus, you have to show me how to do this without stepping out of line, without getting myself into trouble with my losing my job and all of that. Show me, give me the wisdom. Hallelujah. And that's when the Holy Spirit would have revealed to me how to do it. And so every group of students that I encounter with, I would share, listen, I am a Christian. I know God. And I'm not making it about, I make everything about me and my encounters with Jesus and my testimony. And they cannot tell me that I cannot share my experiences with the children. I'm not pushing it onto them. I'm just saying, you know what God has done for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you find that it works so well. The whole, I would go to school in the mornings and I would pray every single morning, saturate my classroom, saturate the space before the children come in. And when they would come in and we would have morning meetings, you know, I started out with this word of the week. The Holy Spirit would have been the one to give me that word of the week. And we started looking at words like honesty, the same fruits of the Spirit. Those are the words that we focus on during the week. And then I would share my experiences and encounters with God with those words. So anybody walking, they hear me talking about integrity, right? Doing what is right, nobody is watching. You know, when you don't think anybody's watching. And then I will share, you know, even when I don't know that somebody is watching, I know God is watching me. You know, and I'm not saying to them, you need to serve God, but I'm presenting the word through the wisdom the Holy Spirit has given me. But the funniest thing about it is these children, they open up so much. They come now asking for prayer. The other day, we had an example, and I was sharing with them how I fasted and prayed for them. And so before the exam started, one of them was hand up and she was a little shy. I said, what happened? Miss, can we pray?
All right.
You know? Yes. And I was like, absolutely. And then I put the disclaimer, is there anyone who's going to be offended if we pray? Is there anyone who doesn't want to be a part of it? You know? And I present it that way. And they received the prayer. And the next morning, they said, Miss, we're not praying. They're the ones asking for it.
I was asking for it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there are so the
it can
who,
definitely, Sister Alice.
Yes.
They are the ones who bring God to you. Because they are telling you, and they ask you which church you attend, and they ask the questions and so.
Yes.
Because in America, here we have the mixed religion. That is the problem. So they don't want to hurt anyone or hinder anyone. So they just take God out of the school altogether because they have so
that
many.
That is it, because they're afraid of offense.
Yes,
it's a scheme of the enemy.
Yes, there's a burning in them.
Yes. There's a burning in them for God. There's a burning in them for God.
Yes,
but they are still okay.
Praise God. And I come and tell you that, Miss Legister, you went to church yesterday. We went to church. I said, which church you go to? And they will tell you.
They will.
And they will bring it up to you.
They will. But I encourage them, Sister Lynette, I encourage them. And I say, I pray for you. And I've prayed every year. And that's how my children do well. And some of them start praying too. Some of them, they start
burning in them for Christ.
I didn't tell them to pray. Just tell them, I pray. And so the Holy Spirit does the rest.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit does the rest. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm seeing some messages from some persons who are trying to join Deacon. But they're not being allowed to.
I'll check Sister Camille.
Yeah. Yes, because Sister Chantel, a few of them have messaged me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we continue in Jesus' name, knowing our why. It was then I realized what my purpose is to teach, but also in a country like this, I appreciate teaching so much more now when I'm able to expose young minds to God, to the word of God. Sometimes you hear them in little cliques when they don't know you're listening, and they say, you know, I read Genesis last night, you know, and they're discussing the Bible, and that would have come from the passion that their teacher would have shared with them, and, you know, them becoming ignited and wanting to do it. It's a seed, you know, and so we have the opportunity to be a blessing. And even with all the restrictions, there are still ways and means of doing it. It's for us to approach the Holy Spirit. He will give us the wisdom as to what to do. And then further on, the seed is planted. He will water that seed, bring to them, a curiosity that cannot be satisfied without reading the word of God and without having encounters with Jesus. Hallelujah. And so...
Amen.
I continue. Praise God. When we look at chapter 14.
Oh, Jesus.
Where Samson transitioned into manhood. You know, as he did, he set his eye on a Philistine woman whom he desired to marry. So when Samson now went to his parents, you know, his parents didn't think that this was a good choice for him. But Samson was adamant. He made it up in his mind that this is the one he wanted to marry. And so they left and they went to meet the woman, the Bible says. But then Samson encountered a lion and he killed the lion with his bare hand. But when I was reading, what stood out for me when I read was there's a recurring phrase. And for those of us who would have read those four chapters of Samson's life, there's a recurring phrase and it appears most of the times before you would see something mighty happening. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
And each time this was mentioned, you know, it was immediately followed by a powerful action. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And then this happened.
Mightily. You know,
and that solidified the point that I was trying to make earlier, that the strength is from God. Is when the Spirit of the Lord come upon Samson, that the strength would come, that empowerment came, and Samson was able to perform these mighty acts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rented him as he would have a kid, just tear the lion apart with his bare hand. He said he had nothing in his hand, but he didn't tell his mother or his father what he had done. No. Consistent pattern, that phrase that is recurring, it makes it clear that Samson's strength and feet were not of his own doing. It wasn't the healer, it was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Hallelujah. It wasn't the length of his hair, the Spirit of God is where the strength came from. And we see it throughout the duration of the chapters that talks about Samson. I want to say to us tonight that the Spirit of the Lord that comes upon Samson very mightily, we have access to that Spirit tonight. We have access as believers to the Holy Spirit of God. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit of God comes, hallelujah, when he comes upon us mightily, you know, as human beings, we have limitations. There are things that we can do and things that we're not able to do. We're limited in our actions. But when the Holy Spirit of God begins to come upon us in a mighty way, then whatever our abilities are, they are now magnified. Hallelujah. Yes, there might be a possibility that Samson had some physical strength, yes. But you see, when the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, that strength that he would have had was now magnified. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the supernatural power of God. And without that power, we are limited beings. But with that power, hallelujah, released upon us as believers, there's no limit to what the Holy Spirit can have us to do. Praise Amen. God. When God releases that power, we have power and the authority to speak.
Yes.
And it shall be so when that Spirit comes upon us. When the Holy Spirit rests upon us, we can confront situation, lion situation.
Oh, yes.
That are strong as a lion, and we can destroy it. Hallelujah. With our words, because of the Spirit of God,
the strength
from the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. God Almighty, the Word of God says that God has given us the authority and the power to bind things and to loosen things.
So
hallelujah. That those are empowerment from the Spirit of God, you know. And when we have the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what presents itself. We speak to those things and they must subside in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We speak to the things, to diabolical forces, to forces from the kingdom of darkness that are operating in our lives. And we speak with that authority and command them to go because of the empowerment that the Spirit of God would have given unto us. Hallelujah. We have access to that Spirit tonight. Are we using our access? Are we using what we have access to? Mighty God, do we sit and dwell and just complain and call this person and share and that person and share? Or do we arise in our God-given authority, my God, and command situations to shift in the name of Jesus? Because we have that power in us. We have access to that power. It wasn't just for Samson. It's for all of us as believers.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Some situation might be stubborn, but we can change it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We must remember, though, in order for that spirit to be activated in our lives and to manifest in powerful ways, we must be in obedience to the word.
Yes.
Samson was in obedience at that point in time. And so that's why the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he was able to do mighty things. And it's the same thing with us. We must walk in alignment to what God says. Hallelujah. To access that Spirit. Bless the name of Jesus. Mm. Now, as we continue and looking at chapter 14, closing off chapter 14 rather, we see where Samson spoke to the Philistine lady, and the word of God says that he was well pleased. So he took her and brought her home, and he prepared a feast for her. And so there were 30 men who were brought there to the feast, and Samson challenged them with a riddle. Because I believe when Samson was going home with the Philistine lady, the lion that he had killed, the carcass of the lion was left, and there was a swarm of bees on it, and they had honey. And he took it up and he ate of it, and he brought it to his parents, but he didn't tell them where it was from. And so the challenge or riddle that he gave was based on the fact that he had killed the lion, you know, and the swarm of bees came, and the honey, yeah. Right? And so if you didn't know that he would have done that, that would have been a challenge for you to figure out. But he gave the riddle. And so the 30 men accepted the challenge to figure out what it meant. And so they were able to solve the riddle. If they were able to solve it, they would get 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. But they would have to return the same to Samson if they were not able to do it.
Yes.
So they tried for days and they couldn't figure the riddle out. But then they approached his wife, you know,
the word of
God. And when I was reading this word, it just jumped in my face. It says, entice him, entice thy husband. That's what they said to the wife. Entice thy husband. My God. Or we will burn your father's house down. Now, when I looked at the word entice simply means to attract or to tempt by offering reward or pleasure. Entice thy husband, they said. You see, sometimes when the enemy cannot face us directly, you know, he's going to appear to some person.
Yes.
Oh, God, man. Family members, friends, yes. Colleagues, boss, yes. My God, children, parents, anybody who's available. The enemy going to appear to them and say, entice thee, entice Camille, entice Tamaya, mighty God, in an attempt to try to lure you in to what he wants you to do, mighty God. The enemy is whispering, entice thee, into some person's ears who are around us. They are being used by the enemy to try to entice God's children in the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. And they come presenting these sinful acts in a way that looks acceptable, my God, in an attempt to try to entice us. You know, Samson's wife was she just went to him and she appealed. She played with his emotions, I believe, you know.
You don't love me.
She enticed him and he gave in. Yeah. And so we have to be careful as believers of those traps and sneers that the enemy would have placed around us to try to pull us in. They come and they're subtle and they don't look like their intention. They don't.
They look real.
They look like they're showing compassion and they care, but there's a hidden agenda. Hallelujah. But I'm declaring tonight that every hidden agenda from the enemy against the lives of God's children will be exposed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And so I remember when I was in Jamaica and I was in a WhatsApp group with a group of teachers, and there was this thing that is called cheerful givers. I don't know how many of us know about it. And, you know, the young lady was sending a message in the group. And, you know, these are Christians, teachers, Christians too. And she was sending a message to invite persons to be a part of Cheerful Givers. Now, Cheerful Givers is a thing that, another name for it, they call it Loom too. But I go in and I bring some money to join. So for example, $30,000, and I would pay that $30,000 to join. And then my objective would be to get maybe two or three other persons to join, and each of those persons will bring $30,000. So it's like a circle, and each time, so like I bring those two persons and they pay the $30,000, each of those persons that they bring, they have to bring in somebody to pay another $30,000. And then when I get to the center of the wheel, I get almost $1.4 million. And so they presented it to me. And at that point in time, I'm telling you, things were so difficult. Oh gosh, I have loans to pay. I can't pay it. You know, so many things to do. School fee to pay. I can't pay. Struggling financially. There was this situation, you know? And she said, cheerful givers. I remember she posted the information about it. And below, remember, this is a group of teachers who are Christians. And below that, she posted, Mrs. Shand, that's me. Mrs. Shand, I know what perhaps you're going to say, but I'm just asking you to give it a chance. And when I saw that, I never even looked at it. Because, Mr. God, I thank you. I thank you that they would have identified in me something to know that I'm not going to do anything that is outside of the will of God. And so she identified me. She singled me out. She said, Mr. Sean, nobody shut it down immediately. Give it a listening ear first. You know, and when I ask questions about it, I said, this is gambling. Because persons would have given their money and some persons not get back. And I said, this is gambling. This is against the word of God. No, it's not gambling. It's like a partner. I said, how am I getting $1.4 million from a partner? That he said, what you're giving partner is what you get. So how am I getting $1.4 million after I only pay $30,000? That is a gamble. I don't want that money. I don't want that money. You know, but it came at a time where the enemy was trying to pull me in because he knows financially I was struggling. And so when the enemy comes to us to entice us, to lure us in, as children of God, let us remember our why. Let us remember that purpose. And let us stand resolute and steadfast on that purpose, not allowing ourselves to be enticed by the enemy. My God. And so Samson gave in. He was enticed. He allowed himself to be enticed and he gave in. And he went down. And the man gave the answer to the riddle. And so he had to deliver on that promise. So he killed 30 men and gave their clothes. Hallelujah. To the men that he had promised. Bless the Lord. I'm going to ask Sister Chantal, our second reader, to go ahead as we begin chapter 15. Sister Chantal? Go ahead, sis. Are you able to hear me, brethren?
Yes.
Okay, I was just wondering. Sister Chantal, we're not hearing you.
Maybe she's muted.
All right. Anybody has chapter 15, can read from 1 to 5?
I can read it. Let me see that.
I'll pull it up.
15, 1 to 5?
Yes, ma'am.
Later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He said, I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let him in. I truly thought you must hate her, her father explained. So I gave her in marriage to your best man. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. Samson said, this time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grains to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves.
Amen.
That's it. I think I got to the end of five. I didn't realize that quickly.
This reminds me of Laban and Jacob.
Yes. Bless the Lord. And so we continue. Yes. Thank you so much, Sister Allison, for reading. So yes, in chapter 15, we see where Samson went to his wife and brought a goat, but his father would not allow him to see her because he had given her to his companion. And so he said, take the younger one, man, that is more attractive. But Samson was upset. Amen. He got mad and he went and he gathered the foxes and he bound them and he set them ablaze and released them into the harvest field. My God. Now, when the Philistine came and asked who did this, they said, Samson.
Samson.
So the Philistine burnt her and her father to death, the wife and her father to death. Samson went down to Judea, but the Philistine went there to get him. And the men of Judea were afraid. So they went to Samson and said, what have you done to the Philistine? You know, you don't realize, you know, it's to say them a rule over we. What you do to them? You know, that would cause them to want to war us. So Samson agreed now to surrender to the Philistine by the men of Judea. He said, make sure you're not planning to kill me yourself, you know. Yeah. Right? And so they promised him, no, man, we're going to hand you over. They bound him in rope and surrendered him. Mm. But then as he was given to them, something happened. The recurring phrase came. The recurring phrase that says what? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson again and empowered him. And he was able to burst out of that rope and use that jawbone, the jawbone of the donkey, to destroy 1,000 men. That's the kind of strength that God would have given him, that empowerment. He was able to destroy 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Supernatural things happening, you know. Mighty jawbone. God. Jesus. And so we see once more where the Spirit of the Lord empowered him to do a mighty work. Though he was bound, what happened? He was able to do what? Break free when the Spirit of God came. And so some of us might be facing some situations where we feel tied or bound or arrested. You know, it feels like the situation back you up against a wall. And every time you try to turn and to come out, it's like you're in the same place. But I remind us again, I know I said it earlier, but the Spirit of the Lord, who is able to bring deliverance and to bring liberty and to bring freedom, free us from captivity, he is here tonight and we have access to him. Hallelujah. For some of us, you know, once we are bound against the wall, yes, but God has an empowerment hanging right over us. We just need to reach up and receive it, reach up and get hold of it. Hallelujah. That it may be released in our lives to free us from some situations. Hallelujah. But we must open up in order to receive. We must reach out and grab it. Hallelujah. Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, you know, and it could have been upon him and he still remains bound. But what did he do? He used his hand to break the rope. There's some effort from his part. And so there's some effort from our part when we want to walk in that deliverance. There's something that we need to do. We have to open up our mouth and speak. You know, we have to believe. We have to read the word of God that we may feel empowered and know what the word says to speak the word of God into our situations. Hallelujah. We have a part to play. The Spirit of the Lord will come to empower us, but to empower us that we may do what we are supposed to do. We can't just sit down and experience deliverance. It won't happen. We have to get up and fight. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Praise God. And so the time is going and we're going to do chapter 16. Bless the Lord. And you know, when I started reading chapter 16, this is a part of Samson's life that is, I believe, that is most talked about. His encounter with Delilah.
Delilah.
Yes. This chapter begins with Samson. Boy, Samson's life, I don't know. The chapter started with him sleeping with a harlot, a prostitute. You know, he laid with her. And when the Philistines in Gaza, and when the Philistines got word that Samson was there in Gaza, they waited to attack. They plan up and say, all right, we're going to attack him, but we're going to wait until morning. But Samson left in the middle of the night with the gate of the city in his hand. You know, Samson's strength was really, really unmatched, you know. It's really unmatched. You know, the strength through which the Holy Spirit had empowered him, unmatched. He took hold of the gate of the city together with the post and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them up on his shoulders and he carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Mighty God. And so when we look further on in the chapter, we see where Samson left and later fell in love with Delilah. He got married to her. The Bible says that the Philistine came up and bribed Delilah to once more entice Samson, her husband. They wanted, and they've been trying from the first wife to find out what the source of his strength was. Well, they tried from the first wife to entice him, really, to get the answer to the riddle, and they were successful. And so now they come to his second wife now, bribing her, find out the source of his strength. I'm going to give you 1,100 shekels of silver. You know, and Delilah accepted the challenge. She spoke with him, you know, in her charm. What is the secret of your strength? And how can you be tied up and subdued? And I was thinking, when Samson heard these words, he didn't think about, why would my wife want to know this? You know, it's not even logical. Bless the name of Jesus.
Oh, God.
But, you know, she told him different things. First she said, get 7 fresh bowls that were not dried. And by the time he could tell her, she went and told the Philistine. And she get the fresh bows of strings that were not dry. And she tie him up. And then she said, the Philistines are up on you, Samson. She wanted to see if it would really work. But Samson popped the string. You know? But she manipulated Samson. She said, you lied to me. How could you not tell me? You don't love me. You know? Samson tell her about the new ropes. The same thing happened. Yes. He told her about the plaiting is here and pinning it down to I think it's a fabric. The same thing. She tried everything she told him. She tried and tell him that the Philistine coming. And I'm thinking, how naive could he be to not see the pattern? Mighty God. But that's, we see so where Samson was stupid. Involved in a cycle.
May I interrupt?
Go ahead, sis.
Is it a possibility that he was not listening to God while he was getting into all of this stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Great possibility, yes. That's
yes,
it.
Absolutely. I believe, Sister Merle, that it was for that very reason. why he didn't realize. Because there's no way you could be seeking God and God, you know, for something like that. You're walking in alignment and something is happening and you're seeking God the right way, listening to what he's saying, and God don't show you the pattern so you can break it. Samson was now a victim to this cycle, you know, that kept happening over and over. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Sister Allison.
And you know what I was saying to my mom when we were reading it too? I was thinking, you remember this verse in the Bible talking about the spirit leaving you, Ichabod?
Amen.
And wrong, yes. And wrong. And all the things that the Lord said he shouldn't, yes, do, he kept doing them. Yes. So I wanted, yes, after a while, the spirit of the Lord left.
Departed.
The glory, yes, departed.
Yes.
My, agreed, God.
Yes.
Agreed.
I agree. So. I agree.
I think so, Allison. The spirit of the Lord left him. Because
my,
it
was, yes, yeah, it's, I mean, to settle all doubt, when we read along, we read where it literally says in the Bible that this, he went out and thought that, you know, the Spirit of God was with him, but he had left.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's because of his disobedience. That is it. His disobedience. But I want to point out, and I want us to focus on the trend, the pattern, the cycle. Because some of us, that's how the enemy operates, you know. His tricks are not new. They're the same. He might refresh them and tweak it a little, but it's the same. Same ones he used. And some of us, he keeps us in a cycle. You know?
Yes.
Put us at a place where we're always in need of money so that he can get us to go out, so he can get us to source money from a man as a woman. You know? Yes. And then you get pregnant and the man gone leave you and you come and you want help. Guess what happened? You don't have no money. You find yourself in that same cycle again. You're going to look help from man. Yeah. What happened? He come. You get pregnant. And it keeps happening over and over and over. And you might look and you as a believer and as somebody who would know the Lord, you might look and even think, my God, how could this keep happening? You know, but as we said, this person, they know, when we don't connect with God, when we don't seek God's permission and seek God's wisdom and guidance, we end up doing the same things because we're doing it to our own understanding and our understanding is limited. So we have said, this is the only way that, yeah, I can get some money. I don't have a skill or a job or a qualification. This is the only way I can get some money. But it's a trick. It's a pattern. Hallelujah. Some of us are in cycle. I didn't even realize until maybe April that just passed that I was victim to cycle. Every time it reached April, the same sort of sickness come up on me. The same sort of, you know, attack would come on me. And it had been happening for some years now. And I was like, no, this is enough now. And it was when I went and I'm saying, God, what is this? He opened my eyes and allowed me to see, listen, you're a victim of a cycle. It needs to break in the name of Jesus.
Amen, some of us have been seeing
a cycle around us. At a certain point of the year, this happened. You know, in Manchester, there's a school named Homewood High School.
Yes.
And at a certain point in time in the year, there's a hill that you drive up to get to Homewood. And at a certain point in time in the year, there's always a bus crash, which many children of that institution would have lost their life. Jeez. Mighty God. Evil of cycle. Blood covenant. Hallelujah. Jesus.
That's true. Yes,
I am
hearing
tonight in the name of Jesus that any evil of cycle that is operating, that is manipulating the events of our lives tonight, yes, it is broken in the name of Jesus. We have that power and authority through the Spirit of God to break these cycles. We can't tolerate it anymore. Mighty God, rise up and break. Jesus. Some of us will make the same decisions every time and we hope to have a different outcome. The situation come, the same decision, and you expect the outcome to be different. Just to sweeten it a little more. Sometimes even pray God, how many times? God, a whole heap of time me do this in Jesus. And please me, I beg you, make sure, let it work this time. And I bind this and I bind that. When God is just saying, my daughter, my child, the time is not now. Don't do it this way, do it that way. But we're so busy talking and telling God, and God this, and God, I wanted to do that, and bind this, and loose that. When God is saying, wait. Don't do it this way.
Not
don't
this
drive
thing.
On the highway. Take the bush road. Take this road this time. Hallelujah. And so, but we're not listening. Sometimes I feel like we forget that prayer is a conversation. It's not just an outpouring to God. You have to stop after your talk and listen. Jesus. And listen to what God is trying to say to us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if God was trying to talk to Samson and he didn't listen either. He just are doing one thing, nonchalant. You know?
Oh, God.
My God. I have to wrap up. Praise God. Hallelujah. But some of these cycles they need to be broken, and we need to start praying and, you know, searching and seeking the Lord that he may, because some things that are happening and you realize that you don't even know the source of it. Some of them, it's just a cycle that would have been, you know, birthed on an altar from generations that have passed. Just like how you have physical genetics, where you look like your mom or you look like your dad. You have spiritual genetics as well. Mighty God. That's why the word of God says the father eat the grape, but that the children's teeth set on edge.
Yes.
You know, the spiritual genetics. And that's why I have to make sure that I seek God and I create a healthy relationship, a pattern of walking in obedience, so that when I transition and my son or my children are still here, the spiritual genetic that is passed on is good tendencies. It's not disobedience and rebellion. Mighty God. It's obedience and seeking God consistently and operating in spiritual wisdom. Mighty God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need to examine our spiritual genetics, because some of these cycles, that's where they generate. And if we're going to break it, we need to identify the source in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
One generation to the other.
From one to the other, my sister. And so as we wrap up, we see, hallelujah, Samson could have broken the cycle, but because he was not in connection with God or the Holy Spirit, he kept making the same decision. Him share and it play out, and him share again, and it's the same decision over and over. And it became his demise. That's how he passed. That's what led him to captivity and eventually his death.
Amen.
My God. Hallelujah.
Delilah was manipulative, you know. Took advantage of his love, because the Bible says he loved her.
Yeah.
Mighty God. She had deceit in her heart, man. When she talk, appear deceit come out her mouth. Mighty God. But even though Delilah would have manipulated him, he gave in because he was weak to whatever spell she had. There's some Delilah spirits that are operating around us now. They're controlling and manipulative. There's some people who can get us to do anything, just like us. Delilah could get Samson to do anything. They just need to open their mouth and they can lead us astray from the word of God.
Lord.
Identifying the Delilah. For some of us, the Delilah is not people. Mighty God. For some of us, the Delilah is money. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Money.
Amen.
Can get some of us to do anything. Jesus, we are Christians, we are believers, but as you hear money, you compromise.
Jesus.
Without hesitation, once money is involved, we compromise. We go to church and we pray and we want a better life. Only leave church, you stop at the last place. You want to win the last year. Maya Rabasta. Jesus, choose this day who you will serve. But it's either God or the enemy. You can't go to church and come and mix and mingle in gambling house and expect to reap the benefits of serving God. It no go so. Jesus, what is the Delilah in your life today? Jesus, what will allow you to make any decision? For some of us, it's spotlight, fame, and fortune. We just want to be in the midst, and we will do anything to get there. Jesus.
Jesus.
Mighty God. And when people know these things, they use it to manipulate us.
Jesus.
And so in concluding, anything at all that can, that means more to you than your obedience to God will eventually become a Delilah in your life. Anything that allows, that means more to you, hallelujah, than your obedience to God.
Anything become a Delilah.
Take you out of obedience to God. That is your Delilah. Hallelujah. And so we see Samson, we talk about him. It's really, the lesson is for us to learn what not to do. Identify our Delilah. Hallelujah. That we can, when it comes up, we say, this is a trap. And not get caught in it. Because it is going to eventually lead to our demise. What keeps me from joining tonight? What keep me from you know, going in my closet to pray? Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes I'm at the very phone. Sometimes I'm Facebook.
All right. Easy. Amen.
Sometimes, I feel tired. The flesh keeps us from walking in obedience to what God, the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Don't let me just do this first. Listen, man. That very thing can lead to your demise in the name of Jesus. We need to identify it and break it in Jesus' name. But when Delilah manipulated him, the Bible says he was vexed to death. She was nagging him, prodding him.
Jesus.
He got angry, I believe. Vexed to death is a statement, a phrase. That's the English get angry. I said, look here. So look here, just take here, man.
Hey.
And just called him. Jesus. And so it causes us to examine ourselves when we become angry. What comes out? Mighty God. Because sometimes we are the ones who give the enemy ammunition to our own demise. Jesus. Delilah, Samson give Delilah, who is the enemy, ammunition to his demise. He says, she, when we hear it, gone, that's going to happen. And that's what she did.
Hey.
We should be able to exercise self-control as believers. And of course, it is easier said than done. But if it's something that we realize that we don't have, it's something that we need to be praying about, that God will help us to have that self-control. Mighty God. So Delilah shaved his head, and then the Philistine came. And
my
he went
Lord, my Lord.
Strength, but the Spirit of God.
Oh God.
The covenant was broken. He was no longer walking in obedience
to the Lord.
The alignment was out of the stipulations that were given before birth. And so the strength gone.
Yes.
Where are we? Where are we with our walk in Christ?
That was
are
the
we
last one.
In his will? Have we spoken when the Lord says, shh?
Yes.
Are we walking in obedience to his purpose? Let us consider our ways. Mighty God. Jesus.
And I have tonight to glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment that we can come together as a group to study your word. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the people in this Bible study tonight. We thank you, O God, that you have appointed us, you have anointed us at such a time, Lord God, to study your word. As Paul told Timothy, mighty God, to study your word to show himself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord God, we thank you tonight that we are studying your word, O God, to rightly divide your word. We thank you, Father, that your eyes are on us and you are rescuing us from Satan's snare in the name of Jesus. Tonight, Lord God, we just want to thank you for divine favor on our lives in this ministry, oh God. Thank you that we are completing you, oh God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We declare tonight, oh God, that our time with you is top priority. And we are walking in the anointing and wisdom that you have given to us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that your word is fulfilled in our lives. We praise you, mighty God, and we thank you that your word is the final authority, oh God, that will bring revelation and knowledge to us in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, that your anointing on us is increasing every week in our lives, and we are operating, oh God, in the spirit of counsel and might in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight for boldness. We declare we are bold and strong in you, oh God, as we share the word tonight. We thank you, oh God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for divine connections tonight, oh God. Let it be maintained in our lives by the blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, tonight we praise you and we thank you for the vision you have given this ministry, oh God. We thank you for the lead, oh God, in this time. We thank you, oh God, for those who open up the word of God and to bring a clearer understanding to us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray that you empower us tonight to know you more, oh God, to grow in you, oh God, and to go for you to make disciples in the name of Jesus. Continue to use Sister Camille, oh God, in a powerful way. And we pray, oh God, that the same anointing that was on Jesus Christ rest, rule, and abide on her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God, that she's walking worthy of you. Allow her, oh God, to be a shining example to us. Encourage and strengthen her, oh God, and help her not to be weary in well-doing as she works, oh God, to execute and establish your plan for this ministry in the name of Jesus. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over all those on this line tonight. And Lord, we ask for quick understanding as we study your word, oh God. Oh, we thank you tonight, Lord God, that we are strong in you and your power, in the name of Jesus. Father, we recognize that we rest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, O God, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mighty God, we thank you for the armor you have given us to fight. Hallelujah. Amen. To fight, O God, the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you that no weapon formed against us, oh God, will prosper. And every tongue that rises against us shall be silenced by the blood of Jesus
Christ.
Lord, we praise you tonight. We give you glory, oh God. And we declare tonight, oh God, that we are people, oh God, armed, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. We praise you, God, for your faithfulness.
God.
We pray that we will continue to triumph, oh God, in you, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
May your blessings overtake us, oh God.
Yes, divine God.
God, we ask that you'll help us to obey your voice. And a stranger's voice will not hear. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, we ask that you continue to empower us for service.
Yes, Lord.
Of Jesus. Cause us, O God, to be vessels of honor. And useful, O God, set apart for your own use. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Father,
Jesus.
We thank you for this group tonight.
Mm-hmm.
O God, we thank you as we work here in your kingdom here on earth. We pray the gifts and anointings, O God, on our lives will come forth in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. Study your word, oh God. You will help us, oh God, to to understand more. You give us the wisdom that we need, oh God. You give us the understanding in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That, oh God, that self will be slain and that you get the glory and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your grace, oh God, above us, oh God, and equip us, Lord God, in everything in the name of Jesus. Tonight, Lord God, we ask that you cover us under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord,
we ask, oh God, for your favor to surround us like a shield in Jesus' name. We speak life tonight.
Not hallelujah. God.
We declare we are tall in you, oh God.
Hallelujah.
God, we are children of God. We declare that we are forgiven, oh God. We declare that we are not forsaken. We declare our ears and joint ears with Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to continue to live a life of holiness.
Hallelujah.
Of brightness, a life of integrity in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
have
Jesus.
Have your way tonight, oh God. Bless each and every one tonight. Cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We declare Psalm 91 over them, oh God.
Let
no harm come near their dwelling.
Oh,
give your angels shelter over them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we praise you tonight. We give you glory, oh God. We give you honor and we give you praise. And we are careful, oh God, to place everything into your hand.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
to your
name, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your name, Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Glory to your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For God be the glory, great things we have done. We are blessed, God, for Sister Camille. Sister Camille has always been a blessing to us, and we thank God for her being a part of the ministry at a time like this. Someone who can stand in the gap. The Lord said that he looked among us for someone who could stand in the gap. And Sister Camille says, yes, Lord, here I am. It's a life that is completely yielded to Almighty God, one that has waited patiently on the Lord, that doesn't go forward to do anything without first watering it with fire. And we have heard the word of the Almighty God. Samson did his walk in obedience, and he didn't obey the word of Almighty God, and for that, you have lost its power. And we learned tonight that the strength was not in Samson's hair, as you would say, but his strength was in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. You know, whenever he's supposed to do anything, the Spirit of the Lord would come up on him. Today, the Spirit of the Lord lives inside us as believers, so we can do exploits. So we bless God for you all. And I look forward to seeing you all next week, Saturday, where we will continue as the Lord will lead. Amen. So as we close off tonight, I welcome every first time worshipers with us tonight. I cannot see properly who is online, you know, but if you're here for the first time, we welcome you and we look forward to seeing you again. We thank God for all who participated in your worship, in your reading, whatever you did tonight. To God be the glory. Amen. So as we go, as we depart from each other, I pronounce the blessing of Almighty God upon us all. And continue to keep me in your prayers. I am away, out of state, attending a wedding in Miami. So be praying for me. And Sister Scott, we are here, you know, but this is a part of our life. So despite what is happening around us, we have a worship on the inside. You know, we have a praise on the inside. We will Hold on to the mantle. Hold on to what God has entrusted in our care. And we bless God. Greet each other as you go from here, not from the presence of the Lord, but we remain in God's presence. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Yeah, that's Sister Radiant. Sister Radiant, I bless you for coming on tonight. I see you here for the first time. Yes, and we pray that this Bible study was a blessing to your soul. And
amen.
You know, and yes, Sister Radiant is from Sister Camille's group. You know, Sister Camille's group, prayer portal to Heaven Ministry International. Yes, of which we share joint leadership in that group. We share joint leadership in both groups. And we bless God. We bless God. Yes, and we thank you all for coming on each Thursday. All of you will make it on a Thursday to worship with us, with Sister Camille. We give God thanks. Last Thursday, we had a mighty revival. A prophet from the Almighty God came and he revived us. And we were so blessed. Amen. So we look forward to who can participate on a Thursday. Come on out. Yeah.
We have Sister Chantel Deacon. Sister Chantel is here. She's on my phone. So she was trying to join and couldn't get in. So I called her WhatsApp. So she's actually listening to everything, but she's not online, but she's in Bible study. Amen.
Amen. Sister Chantel, I bless God for you, woman of God, powerful messenger from Almighty God. Sister Terry, we continue to pray for you. We continue to pray your strength, Sister Terry, as you go through this period of bereavement. We know it's not hard, and it's never promised to be easy, but the Lord of all comfort is the one that upholds you with his right hand of righteousness. As you face it, my sister, know for sure that someone is interceding on your behalf. You know, when our lips get weary and our knees get feeble, we know that the Almighty God himself, Jesus Christ, he takes over and intercedes for the believers with groaning that words cannot utter. Is the sympathizing Jesus that continues to strengthen you and to uphold you. Don't feel lonely. It's all right to shed tears and know that every tear that is fall is you making the Almighty God know your dependence upon him, that without him you cannot make it. So continue to hold on to the hem of his garment, and he will see you through this moment, Sister Terry. You and your family, we bless God, we bless God. You know, songwriter said, further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Hallelujah. Cheer up in the spirit of rejoicing. We stand because we know that the battle is already won. You know, our heroes here on this earth is just like a few comparing to the glory and the years of eternity that cannot be numbered that awaits us. So we give God thanks, and we know for sure that we are victors. We are victors in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we see you. Blessed child. We bless God for you. We praise God. Sister Nicole, she sent in her apologies that she had a pre-planned meeting before this. So she's off unavoidably. So we pray God blessings to continue to fall upon her and her family during this time. Amen. Amen. So see you all next week. See you all next all week. Right. To God be the glory.
Great.
Thank you. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Okay. Have a great night, everybody.
It was a hard.